Imagine walking past a shallow pond and seeing a toddler drowning. No one else is around. Saving the child would ruin your expensive shoes and make you late for work. What would you do? This thought experiment from Peter Singer reveals a profound moral inconsistency in our lives. While virtually everyone would save the child without hesitation, we regularly ignore opportunities to save lives through modest donations to effective charities. The contrast is stark. Extreme poverty has fallen dramatically in recent decades, yet 736 million people still live on less than $1.90 per day. This isn't relative poverty, where the poor own televisions and cars. This is absolute poverty, chronic hunger, lack of basic health care, no education, and early death. Children die from easily preventable diseases, while we in affluent countries spend $1,100 annually on coffee, $1,800 on clothing, and throw away nearly 400 pounds of food per year. Singer's challenge is devastatingly simple. If you wouldn't hesitate to save a drowning child at the cost of your shoes, how can you justify not helping those dying from poverty when it would cost you only luxuries you'd hardly miss? The distance between us and those suffering doesn't change the moral equation. Our capacity to help at relatively little cost creates a moral imperative that's difficult to dismiss once confronted. Despite compelling moral arguments, several psychological barriers limit our response to distant suffering. The identifiable victim effect reveals we give more to specific individuals than statistics. Donations nearly double when shown Rokia, a single child in need, versus hearing about millions suffering. Our emotions respond to stories, not numbers. Geographic proximity heavily influences giving. Americans donated $1.54 billion after the 2004 Southeast Asian tsunami, 220,000 deaths, but $6.5 billion for Hurricane Katrina, 1,000 deaths, reflecting our evolutionary focus on kin and tribe. Futility thinking makes people prefer saving 80 of 100 lives over 200 of 1,000 lives at equal cost, while the diffusion of responsibility shows we're less likely to help when others could act. In one study, 70% of solo students helped during distress, but only 7% helped with an unresponsive bystander present. While these psychological tendencies explain our reluctance to aid distant strangers, they don't justify it ethically. People donate more when aware of others' contributions, especially from peers. While anonymous giving has merit, transparent giving can better inspire generosity. Collective pledging drives commitment. Oxford philosopher Toby Ord pledged 2/3 of his earnings, $1 million, to prevent 80,000 cases of blindness. His initiative, Giving What We Can, grew to 4,000 members pledging $1.5 billion within a decade through 10% income commitments. The Giving Pledge, launched by Gates and Buffett, encourages billionaires to give over half their wealth. By 2019, 204 pledgers from 23 countries had joined, including Mackenzie Bezos, Elon Musk, and Mark Zuckerberg. Individual examples inspired too, from car salesman Andre Smith donating 5% of commissions to teacher Boris Yakubchik giving 50% of his $47,000 salary while remaining among the world's wealthiest 5%. While critics focus on waste in foreign aid, the $2.3 trillion given over 5 decades represents just 0.3% of wealthy nations' income, about $60 per person annually, less than Americans spend on pet food. Political motivations and tied aid requirements have reduced effectiveness, increasing costs by 30-50%. Yet successful programs demonstrate aid's impact. Smallpox eradication saved 63 million lives. Guinea worm cases fell from 3.5 million to 54, 1986 to 2019. And childhood vaccination rates rose from 20% to over 80% since 1980. Recent targeted approaches show promise. Though microcredit disappointed, the graduation approach, providing assets, training, mentoring, and savings access to the ultra-poor, has proven effective, with 9 studies showing household incomes rising 37% after 3 years. The global poverty gap, the amount needed to raise everyone above extreme poverty, has shrunk from $300 billion in 1980 to $80 billion today, less than Americans spend on alcohol annually, representing just 0.16% of OECD countries' GDP. The fair share argument is flawed. If 10 drowning children need rescue and only half the adults help, the rescuers can't stop halfway. Those who refuse to help become morally irrelevant. A progressive giving scale offers a solution. 1% for those earning $40,000 to $81,000, rising to 50% for incomes over $53 million. Applied to the upper half of U.S. taxpayers alone, this would raise $604 billion yearly, or $1.3 trillion globally, far exceeding what's needed to end extreme poverty. Research shows donors are 43% more likely to report being very happy, with brain scans confirming activated reward centers during charitable acts, the physical basis of giving's warm glow. We live in a unique era where extreme poverty hits historic lows while global wealth reaches new heights. Modern technology enables direct, effective assistance to impoverished communities. The progress is clear. Child deaths under 5 dropped from 20 million in 1960 to 5.4 million in 2017, most preventable through simple, affordable interventions costing just dollars per life saved. While philanthropists like Buffett and Gates have given billions, wealthy nations could contribute far more without impacting living standards. The moral imperative is straightforward. Just as you would save a drowning child, you can create similar impact through strategic giving to effective organizations. Choose a meaningful amount, whether 1% or 10% of your income, and commit to it. As Henry Spira asked, "What greater motivation can there be than doing whatever one possibly can to reduce pain and suffering?" By determining your giving capacity and making specific pledges, you join in solving one of humanity's greatest challenges. The wealthy's environmental impact disproportionately affects the poor through climate change. While Africa contributes less than 3% of greenhouse gases, the U.S. and Europe produce nearly half, what Uganda's President Museveni calls aggression. The Fred Hollows Foundation demonstrates efficient charity through $50 cataract surgeries. Their 4 million supported operations have enabled most recipients to return to work, 85% of men and 58% of women in India. Life-saving interventions in developing nations are remarkably cost-effective. Health radio campaigns, $196 to $756 per life saved. Seasonal malaria prevention, $2,041, and bed nets, $3,000 to $5,000. In contrast, saving a life in wealthy nations typically costs $2.2 to $10 million. Given this stark inequality, what we consider charitable giving may actually be our ethical minimum when we can prevent suffering without sacrificing anything of comparable importance.